In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. He was in the beginning with God. All things were made through Him, and without Him, nothing was made that was made. In Him was life, and the life was the light of men. And the light shines in the darkness, and the darkness did not comprehend it. There was a man sent from God whose name was John. This man came for a witness, to bear witness to the light, that all through him might believe. He was not that light, but was sent to bear witness to that light. That was the true light, which gives light to every man coming into the world. He was in the world, and the world was made through him, and the world did not know him. He came to his own, and his own did not receive him. But as many as received him, to them he gave the right to become children of God, to those who believe in his name, who were born not of blood, nor of the will of flesh, nor of the will of man, but of God. And the Word became flesh and dwelt among us, and we beheld his glory, the glory as of the only Son of the Father, full of grace and truth. Lord, as we look at this passage and others, I pray that you'll speak to us, encourage us, and that that light will shine in our hearts and through our hearts to the world around us. In Jesus' name, amen. Jesus is the light of the world. It's a powerful message. In 2 Corinthians chapter 4, verse 6, it says, "For God, who said, 'Let the light shine out of darkness,' has shone in our hearts to give the light of the knowledge of the glory of God in the face of Jesus." First, in John chapter 1, verse 4, which we read, "In him was life, and the life was the light of men. The light shines in the darkness, and the darkness has not overcome it." There's light, and there's darkness. It says back in Genesis that in the beginning, the world was there without form and void. And God said, "Let there be light." Let there be light. I think the Christmas message is all about the formula E equals M times C squared. Recognize that? Einstein came up with that. Energy equals mass times the speed of light squared. You've got energy, you've got mass, and you've got light. And in Jesus, you've got the power and glory of God. You've got the Word becoming flesh, and you've got the light of the world. The whole universe is about energy, about matter, and about light, life. And Jesus came to bring life by shining his light. But the world didn't buy into it. There was Adam and Eve in the garden, and they walked with God. They saw the light. And yet the serpent came along and deceived them and got them to think that that God didn't really love them, that they couldn't trust him, that he didn't have their best interest in mind, and that they could be their own God. They could decide for themselves what was right and wrong, what was good and evil. And the immediate result was darkness. They didn't see things how they really were. It says Eve looked at the fruit and saw that it was good for food, pleasing to the eyes, and able to make her wise. It was none of those things. But that's how she perceived it, because she had rejected the real light, and she was now walking in darkness. John 3:19, and this is the judgment, that light has come into the world, and people love the darkness rather than the light, because their deeds were evil. Ephesians 4:17-20 says, now this I say and testify in the Lord, that you must no longer walk as the Gentiles, the people out in the world, do, in the futility of their minds. They are darkened in their understanding, alienated from the life of God because of the ignorance that is in them due to the hardness of their hearts. And they've become callous and have given themselves over to sensuality, greedy, to practice every kind of impurity. But that's not how you learned in Christ. We live in a world that at Christmas time has all kinds of lights out there, but there's so much darkness in the souls. And Jesus came to bring real light. Now, I love the symbolism of light. One of the things I gave my wife for Christmas was some Christmas tree lights, the old-fashioned kind, the kind that have that long stem up there and the bubbles going up. You can't buy them at Walmart now, I don't think. Yeah. So I got my wife, we had to go to Vermont Country Store to get them, ordered through the catalog. You know, I love the Christmas lights. I love the candles, the whole thing. But I love it because I know what it's really about. We can have that kind of joy. Jesus is the light of the world. And his light is essential. It's essential for new life. John 8:12 says, Jesus spoke to them saying, I am the light of the world. Whoever follows me will not walk in darkness, but will have the light of life. Life is the light. It's brightness. It's fullness. It's energy. It empowers us. It reveals things to us. It lets us understand what's going on. And God gives us that light through Jesus Christ. Jesus is not just a good example to follow. He is that. But he's so much more. He's a source of new life. When we turn our lives back to God, commit ourselves to God, he sends the Holy Spirit into us. And the love and life of God is born anew in us. Jesus said, unless you're born again, you can't enter the kingdom of God. And that's what happens. We're born. We're recreated. And the God who said, let there be light, speaks that into the very core of our souls and makes us a new person. The light of Jesus is also necessary for a new lifestyle. In Ephesians chapter 1, it says, Paul's talking to the church at Ephesus. He says, I know you've got love. I know you've got the Holy Spirit. And now I'm praying some stuff for you. For this reason, because I have heard of your faith in the Lord Jesus, your love for all the saints, I don't cease giving thanks for you, remembering you in my prayers, that the God of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of glory, may give you a spirit of wisdom and revelation in the knowledge of him, the eyes of your understanding being enlightened. Boing! I get it. Have you ever had that kind of experience with God? Where you've read a scripture, God so loved the world that he gave his only son. God so loved the world, God loved me. Wow, I get that. See, it's that kind of experience where God's word becomes real and alive to us, where we sense God revealing truth to us. And the eyes of our understanding are enlightened. Eve's understanding was darkened. The world's understanding is darkened. But God enlightens our eyes, turns the light on. In the night, as an old man, I have to get up at least a few times and go stumble into the bathroom, and in there, right by the light switch, I don't turn on the big light switch, I'm not ready for that in the middle of the night, but I turn on the night light, and now I can see clearly. We need that light to come into darkness, to know where we're going. And Paul says, I want you to have that revelation experience. I want those lights to be turned on your life. And it's phenomenal what he says here. He doesn't say, so that you can know what you ought to be doing. Behave yourself. He says, so that you might know the hope of his calling. So that you might know the destiny that God has for you. God has a purpose and a plan for your life. God has a destiny. He wants you to know that you are not garbage, that you're not rejects, that you are loved by him, that he has a purpose and meaning for you, and he has a character for you. He's going to transform you to be like Jesus, to share the nature of Jesus Christ, to be loving and kind and good and wise and gentle. That you might know the riches of the glory of his inheritance in the saints. Paul wants their eyes to be enlightened that they might know how precious they are to God, that they're God's treasures, that he values them. He values you. You are precious to God. He loved you so much, Jesus Christ came as a baby so he could die on the cross for our sins. That's how special we are. And that we might know the immeasurable greatness of his power toward us. God wants us to have the lights turned on to realize that everything we need to live a life that is different, that is pleasing to God, that is meaningful and fruitful, he's got the power for us to do that. We can have that. And it's the same power he used to raise Christ from the dead. So that light of Jesus is essential for a new life and a new lifestyle and for new meaning. In Matthew chapter 5, verse 14, Jesus, who said, I'm the light of the world, says to his disciples, you are the light of the world. A city set on a hill cannot be hidden, nor do people put a light a lamp and put it under a basket, but on a stand, and it gives light to all in the house. In the same way, let your light shine before others so that they may see your good works and give glory to your Father who's in heaven. God wants to shine through us. The neatest, most fantastic thing is that God wants to do meaningful things through our lives. God wants to use you to change the world around you. What a tremendous privilege. No matter who you are, God's got meaning and purpose for your life. God wants to so transform you that others are going to look at you and say, wow, I'm so impressed with God because he changed you. They know it's God working in your life. And we're to let our light shine, not so that people glorify us, but so that God gets the credit. And the light of Jesus gives us a new community. How many of you know friends at church are not like friends at a bar? Yeah. In 1 John chapter 1, verse 7, it says, "But if we walk in the light as he is in the light, we have fellowship with one another, and the blood of his son Jesus cleanses us from all sin." Christian fellowship isn't about you and me getting together and having a good time. It's about you and me getting together in the presence of Jesus and having a joy-filled, fruitful time. It's about us loving one another. Loving one another. Really loving and caring for each other. And being concerned about people who are not like us. Different. But important because Christ died for them. And because we need them. And God made us as the body of Christ so that each one of us gets different kinds of gifts. And I can't just live as a spiritual lone ranger. I need you. I need you to encourage me, to support me, to be a complementary part of I can give a part and you can give a part, and together we make a whole. And the body of Christ, when we come together, he speaks to us. He shines his light out through the whole body. That's why we have small groups. That's why that alpha group is a springboard into more small groups and community working together and ministry groups working together and living together and helping one another. There's a Greek word in the Bible for fellowship. It's koinonia. And it means participation. It means people sharing, giving, and receiving from one another. We need the light of Jesus for new life, new lifestyle, new meaning, new community. You know, it's appropriate that Jesus was probably born in August, you know. The shepherds were in the fields with their flocks. But it's appropriate for us to celebrate it in December, 4 days after the shortest day of the year, the darkest day, because he brings light. He wants to expose the darkness in our lives and shine his light and his love, and to shine it through you and me. Thank you, Lord, that you do love us so much that you came to bring us new life, new power, new forgiveness. Lord, let your light shine in us. forgive our sins. We commit ourselves. We trust in your light and your life. Transform us, empower us, and use us. Let the magic of Christmas flow through us. In Jesus' name, amen. I'd like the worship team to come down.